And time for another installment of Pucks with Bernie and Panger. This week we'll tee it up with Bernie Federko, the Blues Hall of Famer. A lot to talk about. The NHL trade deadline has come and gone. A lot of updates about Vladimir Tarasenko rejoining the team just in time for a playoff push. Our hockey conversations each week presented by Triad Bank, Greenville University, Cope 24, B&G Tuck Pointing, Marie Davila Senior Living, Fast Eddie's Bon Air, Urban Chestnut Brewer, and we'll get right to it right after this. Winning a Stanley Cup isn't easy, but the Blues are able to do it by having a great foundation. It's pretty simple. When things start falling apart or crumbling, it not only looks bad, it doesn't work. B&G Tuck Pointing has the same philosophy about your home or place of business. It's the reason. They are the best in the bricks. Whether it's your home, your garage, your office building, or your chimney, you can have it looking new again with B&G Tuck Pointing. Solid or spot tuck pointing, matching the existing mortar, foundation repair, caulking, waterproofing, fully licensed and insured, accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I know firsthand the finished product is great. And the crews, well, they're efficient and they never leave behind a mess. B&G Tuck Pointing, a family business right down to their name. Named after owner Rich Galati's daughters, Bella and Gabrielle. You can call to set up an estimate at 314-363-0525. That's 314-363-0525. Or go online at bgtuckpointing.com. bgtuckpointing.com. Find out for yourself why their customers say they are the best in the bricks. Rich and his daughters would like to add one more thing. Let's go Blues. I'm here with Renee Howitt. She started up a great organization called Cope 24. Their goal is to improve the health of families. Renee, tell us how Cope 24 strives to do this.
Well, we believe education is going to be the key. So we are promoting the need to make parenting and child development education a priority in all of our high schools, reaching all of our students.
You know, it's funny you say high school and curriculum. I think of math. I think of English. Cope 24 believes that parenting needs to be one of those core classes taken. Why is that so important?
Well, we look at the issues that we have in our society. Child welfare is just overwhelmed with the number of kids that need healthy families. We look at crime, imprisonment, mental health, domestic violence. It just goes on and on. And we know, without a doubt, that we can trace that back to dysfunctional families. So if we want our families to be healthier, we have to create healthier parents.
For more information on this great organization, simply go to cope24.com. That's cope, C-O-P-E, 24.com, teaching the kids of today to be the better parents of tomorrow.
In the current workplace, employers are looking for graduates who are competent, have character, an employee who can see past their own noses. A large company in St. Louis recently told Greenville University, for those reasons, they recruit heavily from Greenville University. The mission that began in 1892 still rings true. Greenville wants to empower students to live a life of character and service. And today, graduates of Greenville University continue to shape the globe in medicine, ministry, education, music, politics, the criminal justice system, and beyond. Students receive hands-on educational experiences guided by caring people who are professors and mentors to them. It's a great education that is convenient, just 45 minutes from St. Louis. In a small, friendly town, it's a great education that also comes in a terrific environment. The Greenville campus has been named the safest campus in the state of Illinois. The staff, the faculty, the administration continue to cultivate students for character and service because now, more than ever, the world needs more Greenville University graduates. For more information, go to greenville.edu.
And here with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko. Bernie, the Blackhawks, Blues. They haven't played since mid-December, but I know the rivalry maybe isn't what it used to be, yet you talk to a couple players like, no, we sense it from the crowd as much as anything. So does that fuel it right now? Maybe the crowd kind of get in. There'll be Hawks jerseys in the building, even if the players don't necessarily hate each other anymore.
Yeah, I think it always fuels it. I mean, the rivalry between St. Louis and Chicago, no matter what sport, is in everything. I mean, the Blues or St. Louis and Chicago just has that rival that they've always had. So it does fuel it a little bit. I mean, I think it's two teams that are going two different directions. The Hawks are trying to rebuild, and the Blues, of course, coming off the Stanley Cup win, are trying to win another one. So they still have guys on that team that really care. I mean, you guys got Duncan Keith, you've got Kane and Taves. Those are the games that scare you. I mean, the Blues Blues are expected to win this game, and you always have Chicago coming in trying to steal points. And I think that's what you have to concentrate on, business itself, because if you don't concentrate on that, yeah, because of all the extra noise that's going to be in their building, there's going to be extra jerseys from Chicago. Yeah, you got to concentrate because you got to make sure you got to win this game here at home.
It took some doing, didn't it, to kind of get past them in this division, because they had that run, and man, they were winning cups, and it just felt like even come playoff time, yeah, the Blues got them that 1 year dramatic game seven. They win it. But it took a little persistence, and I think Doug Armstrong had a plan, like if we just keep with this core and add on. But it's kind of fun to see it the other way around, because I honestly was thinking for a while, God, are we ever going to be better than what they've got? And with the core you mentioned, they've actually been able to pass them up.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the cap age now, Martin. I think the fact of the matter is that when you have to sign these players to a lot of money, you don't have a lot left for anything else. And as the length of the contract continues to go on, as it has for the Hawks, I mean, they've had really hard time filling in the pieces because they really haven't enough cash to spend. So I think that's what Doug Armstrong obviously has tried to avoid. Yes, the Blues have caught them, and now the Blues are in the situation where they have to start playing some of their guys. And I think that's where you have to be so careful in this day and age. But the Hawks are still got a lot of pride that they have, you know, in themselves. I mean, they wear the emblem on the front of their jersey like everybody else does. So these are the games that are hard to play. But yes, I mean, these are the things that you know, that Army, I think, is trying to avoid, is that the Blues are better than the Hawks right now. They'd like to stay there as long as they can.
How much fun during your playing days going to the old arena when it was Chicago in town? And a lot of times it seemed like there was the home and home. You'd get them on a Saturday, then you have to get right up the road and play them again, and there might be a fight on the ice, there might be a fight in the stands. How memorable are those games?
Well, those are the best memory I have is when I played, because the rivalry we had with the Hawks was absolutely unbelievable, and it was a bloodbath all the time. And it was, I think the game has become so tame now compared to what it was before, and all the fans coming in from Chicago. I remember at the old arena having all the Hawks were in one section, and it was always to our left, and they were in kind of the lower section, and the guys from all above, all the Blues fans, would pour beer down on top of them. It looked like it was raining on the one end of the rink the whole time. So I mean, those were fun times. And yeah, I mean, it was the back-to-back games. It got bitter, because if you got behind and you were losing the game, you were going to send a message. There was always fights at the end of the game, or there's always something that was going to happen, because you knew it to play them that next night, and you're going to make sure that you sent a point that, hey, you may beat us tonight, but you're not going to do it again tomorrow night. So yeah, those were the good old days. And I still think that I'm glad that the league is starting to do a little more of that. I mean, I know that the physicalness is not there anymore, but to have the home and home series, the league started to do more and more of that. And I think in the rivalries, I think it's just a special thing for fans and for the players itself.
For whatever reason in my head, I'm hearing Secord sucks. That was always the chant. Uh-huh. Why was he always – it flows well, but I'm trying to remember, why did we hate him so much?
Well, I think he was just a tough guy. I mean, and of course, he always he was playing with Dennis Savard. He scored a bunch of big goals as well. So I mean, he was the guy that would drop his glove, and he was kind of a bully, and everybody hates bullies. So I think the same thing happens to a lot, you know, whether it was Twister or going into Chicago, all the tougher guys. I mean, those are the guys. And Secord was a goal scorer too as well. So, I mean, it's just the way it was. But yeah, the Secord sucks was there, and you know, Murray the Bannerman, they used to chant him and this and that. So those are the fun days. And you know, it's a shame that they don't do that as much as they did back then. They don't do that anymore, but I think there's probably some buildings that still happens in.
And then we talk about the division with the Hawks in there, but right now it's Colorado, it's Dallas right on the Blues heels. And I really think we overstated every year playoff positioning, because you could be the eighth seed like the Kings and win it. But if you can avoid that first-round matchup and you look at Colorado, Dallas, maybe they have to go head-to-head right away, wouldn't that be a huge edge if you're the Blues?
Yeah, I think so, Martin, because, I mean, if you look at the top three teams right now, and you just mentioned the Avs, the Stars, and the Blues are right there within 3 points of each other. So, yeah, I mean, to be able to play the eighth seed team or the seventh seed team would be the spot to be, because you don't want to have that battle right off the bat. Let the two other teams fight the battle for, you know, second and third spot, and whoever comes out, at least you know you're going to have one of the Central Division foes. But I think it would be a lot easier to play against the seventh or eighth seed than it would be against either Dallas or Colorado. So I think that's kind of the importance of trying to get first place, because I think it would be very important this time, because both those teams are really good teams.
Trade deadline is come and gone. They did pick up Marco Scandella a week ago. That was sort of their move, replacing Jay Bouwmeester on the roster. But the fact that they didn't make any moves, I think, speaks volumes of what they think they have. I mean, I'm not sure there was an obvious move for them to make. And Doug Armstrong said, you know, last year we didn't. And it's not because we said, hey, look, we won it last year. We're going to do the same thing. So it just wasn't a move that made sense. I think they know they've got all the right pieces at this point.
Yeah, they feel pretty comfortable about the way they're playing right now, especially the last four games. I mean, they played very well. They're back to the grinding style that they play. And when they play that way, they're really hard to beat. I mean, and I think you don't really want to change your chemistry. I mean, Tarasenko is probably going to be back in the next couple of weeks. So all of a sudden, it looks like you've got a guy that comes in, a real natural goal scorer. You know, one of your top three forwards is coming back, for the playoff push and into the playoffs. So I think that there was really no reason to do that. I love what they did with Marco Scandella. He's really filled the void. I mean, I don't want to say that Bo is replaceable. It's very hard to replace a guy that's been around a long time that plays so many minutes as well. But I think through the first four games that Marco has played, he's been absolutely outstanding, and this was a great acquisition.
Yeah, you and I have not talked. Darren Pang and I talked last week about that night in Anaheim, what it was like for the Blues players. You were on the broadcast back in the studio that night, and we have a long delay. As a guy who played in the game, what's your mind thinking while that's all going on? And you guys probably knew it was Bo Meester before the folks at home even knew. How do you even handle that just from a TV standpoint?
Well, we're like everybody else, and we're still fans of the game. So, I mean, we're praying and hoping for the best. I mean, that's all you can do at that point in time. What is going on? I think it's the unknown all the time for anybody in that position, and we didn't know what was going on either. We were watching on TV like you were. Panger was a little closer to see what was going on. But, I mean, yeah, we figured it out pretty quickly that it was Bo, but what is going on? Did he get cut by something? Yes, we played the replays a couple of times of what had happened, and really didn't look like anything happened. So we were stumped for what was going on. And I think that after we found out what it was all about, and it was just relief, because you never want to see it. I mean, things like this do happen. I mean, we see it in high school sports, or when we see it on the football field and this and that. So these are always those things and those moments, especially as a former player, you look back and you are thankful that it didn't happen to you. But I think that we were all hoping for the best, and as it turned out, everything went fine with Bo. Unfortunately, is he going to be able to play again? Who knows? It doesn't look like that at this point in time, but he's had a great career. And if he does have to pack it in right now, I mean, he's got a Stanley Cup, he's got a gold medal, he's had a lot of great things happen, and he's got a very important family too that he needs to look at. But I think that puts life in perspective very quickly when you see something like that happen. Hockey is an important part of our lives. Obviously, it's the way these guys will make their living. But once you have something like that, I think it hits closer to home. You worry about more about your family and your life than you do about the game that is being played.
What's the scariest moment for you with a teammate, whether it's juniors or early in the career, minor leagues? Was there ever a moment where they had to bring a stretcher out or somebody got cut bad? Do you ever have a moment where as a player you're almost in shock on the ice?
Everybody saw the Clint Malarchuk deal that happened with a skate cut, but I actually wasn't there. I was actually hurt. I was back in St. Louis. I was watching it on TV, but I had an incident kind of same as that happened where a skate came up and cut Don Luce in Buffalo in the eye too, and I was the first there. He was back checking on me when it happened, so it was one of those things where I actually rolled him over, and I thought that I thought he'd cut his eye out. I was looking for his eye on the ice. So those are things that scare you an awful lot. But I've not really had a moment where I was worried that someone was dead. But I mean, there is moments that happen in the game. I mean, I had lots of times where we had guys go into the corner or crash in where we had to get the stretcher out, and hoping that they were going to be okay, especially with a neck injury. And I think that was the biggest thing, Martin, when I played. I really didn't have any fear that I was going to die, because if that happened, you're dead. It's breaking your neck and being paralyzed. And I think that was the ice is slippery. There's a lot of things that can happen on that. And I think that is the very, very scary moment. And, when I was finished playing and we were playing a pickup game a few years ago, and a gentleman did die on the ice right at the end of our skate, with the Blues, we had a media skate, and he just, he had a heart attack right on the ice, going off the ice right there, and we couldn't get him revived. We called the trainers and had the ambulance come, this and that. So these are scary moments that happen, but you don't think that it would happen with a guy in such great shape. But it just goes to show that you just never know what can happen in any sport that you're playing.
And I believe soon we'll be hearing directly from Jay Bouwmeester his plans. I think the Blues are going to let him make some type of announcement. It is Pucks with Bernie and Panger. We're talking with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko.
Our visit's presented by Fast Eddie's Bon Air. You've heard all about it up there in Alton, Illinois. If you haven't been, what are you waiting for? And if you haven't been in a while, you need to get back, because it's a mood changer. You hear our visits with Eddie. He's always in a good mood. You've heard Brett talking about it, Brett Hull. You go into Fast Eddie's, if you're in a bad mood, you're going to leave in a good mood. Open 7 days a week. It's 11 a.m. Doors open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The rest of the days, they open at 1, and there are people lined up. The grill's already fired up. Get the Fat Eddie burger, half-pound burger. Live music 7 days a week. It's always a good time at Fast Eddie's. Really not that far to get to. Make it a destination. Maybe it's a bachelorette party or a bachelor party. Got the whole bus. They got a huge parking lot. They can accommodate. They're used to that. Birthday parties. Very rare that you just see a small group in there. People roll in, maybe a group from work. Always a good time at Fast Eddie's. Bon Air, the tradition continues in Alton, Illinois. Our hockey visits are brought to you by Triad Bank, neighborhood-friendly bank. Folks who are happy to see you walk in. Doesn't it stink when you go to a bank and they're sort of rude when you walk in there? It's your money. You would think they could be a little bit friendlier. They're always friendly, happy to help at Triad Bank. They're located on Clayton Road. It's about a block west of Lindbergh. Real easy to get to from Highway 40. You get off the 64 Farty exit there at Lindbergh. And just going a little bit west on Clayton Road, you'll find Triad Bank, based in St. Louis since 2005. So if you're looking to get something done here in town, ask for Jim Regna or anybody on the team there. I guarantee they'll be happy to see you. I like to go in there. I just steal the pen sometimes. They've got great pens. How many banks can tell you that? They got a great pen. But beyond that, great service. It's triadbanking.com. Also presented by Urban Chestnut. You know about their location in the Grove. They've really become the anchor to all the activity in the Grove. Urban Chestnut, great St. Louis success story. Think about it. With all the beers that are popular, I really love the Zwickel, and now I'm getting hooked on the Urban Underdog. Whatever taste you have, they've got a beer for you. Urban Chestnut, not just the locations in town, but also in your neighborhood grocery store. You can pick it up, make Urban Chestnut part of your Blues viewing fun. Grab a beer there. We've mentioned before, you can get Urban Chestnut at the Zoo. They're all over St. Louis, but make sure you grab them and have them at home as you're sitting back and watching some Blues hockey. Also, Marie Davila Senior Living. MarieDavila.com is the website. We suggest you set up a tour. Check out the villas, some of the assisted living. We've talked about Red Shadings for years, being a not just a longtime resident there, but one of the people who helped get that started and was part of the ownership group. But right now, Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan, just festive, fun people. You see the fountain when you drive by. Clayton Road, right at the intersection near Queenie Park. It's Clayton and Weidman. During the Cardinal playoff runs, you see the red fountains. During the Blues run, you see the blue fountain going outside. Always a huge Christmas tree. They're just fun, festive people, and a really great place for your senior years. Set up that appointment at MarieDavila.com.
We mentioned Vladimir Tarasenko earlier. I think this is sort of the best-case scenario that he gets back and has 8-9 games, whatever that number ends up being. I think there was a lot of concern. Boy, he'll be ready right when the playoffs begin. It sounds like perfect scenario. He's going to have a couple of weeks back. As a player coming back from injury, what's realistic? We're all saying, oh, great, he's back, score some goals, but we probably have to temper our enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll take him a while to find his timing in this and that. I mean, he's not going to go down to the minors and you know, try to get a few games in there. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, with the Blues having, if they do have 8 or 9 or 10 games when he comes back, I think that's a perfect time for him to get involved. He'll start getting more involved, I'm sure, in the next few games or few days now with the physical play, getting hit in practice and doing some of the drills, although the Blues don't get a lot of practice time in because the schedule is so tight right now. But, yeah, he needs that just for timing. And you know, he's a great player. I mean, he has the great release. He's probably going to be a step behind, even no matter how much you skate and practice. And when someone's chasing you and when you're in a game situation, it's a lot different because the adrenaline's pumping and there's a lot more stuff going on that it makes it a little much more difficult to say that you're in shape when you haven't played in a few games. But if he gets 4 or 5 or if he gets 10 games, that would be even better. So he would actually, to me, he should be well rested. I think he probably will have more energy than anybody else, and I think that should bode very well for him and for whatever line he's playing on, and it should make the Blues that much a better team.
I know the players all respect each other. Maybe it's not as nasty as it used to be, but our team's going to try and hit him a little more because they know he's back from injury. Is there an unwritten rule there about not taking it too far?
No, I don't. You know what? Again, it's a shoulder injury. Everybody knows it was shoulder, and everybody knows he had it tied and this and that. He had surgery on it. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll get tested right off the bat. In fact, he'll probably want to test it right off the bat because those are the whole things that you need to do is that, can I play? Can I do the same things? Can I play the same way I did? And Vladdy was very physical when he started the season. So, I mean, he needs to make sure that he can go out there and play it. Maybe the first couple of games he might want to take it easy, but, no, I don't think anybody's going to – no.
They're not laying off.
They're not easing loosen up because this guy had a shoulder injury. Yeah, he's going to have a little more respect than a lot of guys around the league would have. But no, if he's in a situation, he's going to get hit, and he'll want to get hit, and he'll want to hit somebody, because that's, you can't change the way you play the game. If you do change, something usually goes wrong, and you actually get hurt some other way. So, I mean, he's just going to have to play like he always played.
Do you think you slide him right back in with Shen and Schwartz, just kind of regroup the guy? Even if O'Reilly's playing well, do you go back to what you previously knew to be working?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think you want to jump. I mean, he's proven himself in this league. I mean, he knows where his spot is, and that's going to be up to Craig Berube. But I don't think he's going to come in as a fourth-line winger. I think that he's going to go, you know, in the top couple of lines. He may not play as much to start. He may be just more on the power play to start things off. But, I mean, they probably will try to ease him in a little bit because it's hard. As you say, you're behind. I mean, as far as I don't care how good a shape you think you're in, he's going to be a little behind. So they'll probably have to ease him in, but he's definitely going to be, you know, on the power play. He's definitely going to play on the top couple of lines.
And then a young guy who's starting to score a little more, Jordan Kyrou, trying to keep himself in that lineup. Is there a natural progression? He's got to learn the league, obviously, but give me an idea what you think the upside is there, what you see potential from Jordan Kyrou.
Well, I just am watching what happened to Robert Thomas over the course of the last year, and I think Kyrou's in the same situation. I mean, here's a kid that has a lot of talent. He's got great speed. I mean, his hockey sense is really, really good, and he shoots the puck really well. I mean, he's not a big guy, and you don't need to be a big guy in the league anymore. So I think with him, we're seeing him get better and better every game. I think, obviously, Craig wants him to work on the defensive side of the game a little more to make sure that you make the right decisions. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing with the young kids. They want to make a play, and sometimes that play's not there. You got to get it in deep. Sometimes you got to make sure at the end of your shift you don't want to take another chance, get it in deep. So it's learning those little nuances that he knows. But in the game of junior where he played before in the minors, he could get away with it. He made a mistake. He maybe got away with it because he was better than everybody. Well, now everybody's as good as you when you're playing in the NHL. So you can't make those little mistakes. You got to make sure you get rid of it at the right time. You got to make sure that you do those things that help the team, don't hurt the team. And I think that's what he has to continue to learn.
You know, a topic that hasn't been talked about a lot, Doug Armstrong was asked about it this week, the Alex Pietrangelo contract. He basically said, haven't really worked on it this year, won't work on it until the season comes to an end. How tough a spot is Pietrangelo? He's got an agent, that's his job, where your legacy is here, but there's money out there. Everybody should get whatever they can get. How tough do you think it is? I know you're not him, but to be kind of in that, and I think his wife is from St. Louis, so how tough is that negotiation where you want to get your money, but maybe you really want to stay, but they say we can only go to a certain level? If you could put yourself in his perspective, that's a tough spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. But, I mean, I know he knows that he's going to get paid no matter what it is, whether he's going to be here or have to go somewhere or that's going to be totally up to him. And I think that's the beauty of being an unrestricted free agent. I mean, they didn't have those when I was playing. So it was really, we were, at the mercy of the team all the time. We had no such thing as free agency. But these guys now, they know with their agents what they're worth. They know that if they don't get it, they can go somewhere else. And I think it's been a negotiation that probably continues to go on. I mean, I know that Alex has told everybody that he wants to stay here in St. Louis, and his wife's from here. I mean, he'd love to stay here. But that being said, a business is a business. I mean, if he can fit in to what the Blues structure is, I'm sure the Blues would love to sign him. But, I mean, that's going to be totally up to him. And I mean, the structures on every team are set, and sometimes you have to change the structure. Are the Blues going to do that to compensate him? I don't know. I mean, that's a business decision that I guess the ownership has to make. That's the business decision that Doug Armstrong has to make. And right now, Alex just has to continue to play. He won a Stanley Cup here last year. He's having a great year this year again. And so it certainly hasn't affected him the way he's played. So I'm sure that he's just saying, hey, let's keep playing and see what happens at the end of the year. We'll figure it out. And hopefully he'll get to stay. And if not, you know what? There's a lot of teams I'm sure that's going to be really, really interested in him on July 1st if he doesn't decide to stay here.
Is it hard, do you think, to put the legacy part behind? He's like, hey, I have a chance to play for one team in theory my whole career. He could play well beyond the next contract. But do you think players still value that?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody wants to stay in the one city for the entire career. I think that is the biggest compliment that you can get, is that that you've done for your team, for your city, whatever, for your franchise, everything that you could have possibly done. And, I mean, look what he's done. I mean, and the fact that he's got a Stanley Cup, too. He was captain of the Stanley Cup champions his last year. So, yeah, he's got a great legacy, and I'm sure he'd like to stay here. But with that being said, it's such a business now. I mean, we just talked about, what's happened to Chicago with, with Taves and Kane. all the money that has been spent there, there's really no money to really to buy support staff. So I think that's a lot of times that you can't really get involved with that. And if that happens, then a lot of times you go from being the worst or the best to the worst. And I'm sure that's something that Doug would not like to have. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Bernie, hopefully the dog days of the hockey season are behind it. Playoffs, we can start to sense the playoffs. I'm excited about it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, March is real close, and that's when it all starts. So it's going to be a really fun year. With all the changes that are made in the trade deadline yesterday, there's a lot of teams that have really changed their look, and I think it's going to be a really exciting playoffs this year.
And thanks for tuning in for our regular visits here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Fox 2 Sports Director Martin Kilcoyne. Don't forget about our great sponsors bringing you the hockey conversation all season long. Cope 24, B&G Tuck Pointing, Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's Bon Air, and Urban Chestnut Brewery. We'll talk to you again later in the week.